Schumer says Sessions
Fayetteville. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is a life-changing...
The following program is brought to you by Ansel Glink Law Firm, American Eagle Bank, and Driver Tom.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Welcome to the Ward and Jones Show. They're stuck in the middle with you, with liberal curmudgeon Jeff Ward and smiling conservative Larry Jones for what can only be described as the most insightful and entertaining political radio talk show on earth, or at least in Northern Illinois. They're talking current events, politics, local, state, and federal. Your on-topic phone calls are always welcome at 847-931-1410. Now here's Jeff Ward and Larry Jones, and they're stuck in the middle with you.
Welcome, everyone, to the Friday. Yes, Friday. Warden Jones is on Fridays now. Friday, March 3rd, 2017 edition of Warden Jones. I'm Jeff Ward. Larry will be back on Monday. We are fortunate enough to have one U46 school board member and one person who inexplicably wants to be a U46 school board member. We got Dave Weiser on the boards.
Hey.
This is WRMN AM 1410. Welcome to another rollicking episode of Warden Jones.
Waiting for the music and the dancers. So this should be really rollicking.
In any event, since we have a school board member and a soon-to-be perhaps school board member,
yes.
Dave, why don't we get through the stuff at the beginning of the show and move right on to the main event. But, sir, if you were so motivated, and we know you're not, I mean, you only appear to be
motivated. I'm lucky I got up this morning.
Well, you only appear to be motivated because Larry and I are kind of slackers.
Yes.
But let's say you wanted to get involved in this upcoming election.
Yes.
And you wanted to get involved in a nonpartisan group dedicated to the proposition that Elgin could be a better place if but for Dave Weiser's participation. What would you do?
Well, I'd probably want to be civil and probably join the Elgin Civics Club.
And where would you find them?
On Facebook at Elgin Civics Club or ElginCivicsClub.com.
Oh, boy, you're on the ball today, sir. We thought you didn't listen to
the show. Yeah, well, I'm not going to have a heart attack soon, but it might be.
Well,
might be,
I mean, thank goodness I'm in good shape. But running up the, how many stairs are there?
42.
No, I don't think there's that
many.
We're
on the fourth floor.
But that was something. All right, number two, driver time. Yes, we here at Warden Jones are so important that we have our own official limousine service.
We do,
yes. Wow. Although Larry keeps trying to convince driver time to take me somewhere and not bring me back. But
I believe that's the majority of the listeners on Warden Jones. Yeah.
Driver Tom says that, too. He goes, man, I just met another politician that doesn't like you. Does Larry like you? And I go, I don't know.
Oh.
We got the rhyme. It wasn't the one. You know, we voted.
Yes.
You, me, Jeff, you and Jeff Meyer. While you beware March's Ides, call Driver Tom to give you rides.
That works.
And you can find Driver Tom at 847-721-6780. And what are you supposed to say, Dave? Or if you just want to get somewhere?
Or if you just want to get somewhere.
There you go. All right. So you're not
I'm going to go back to the ranch here, Jeff.
Okay. We have a ranch?
Yeah.
All right. So, in studio. Oh, by the way, let me thank John Prigge for coming on last Wednesday. That was a lot of fun. There's never any doubt about what John thinks on an issue. It's kind of fun. All right. We have Donna Smith, school board president since 2001.
No. Not president. I've been on the board since 2001.
It should have been Donna Smith, school president, comma, has been on the board since 2001. She's a resident of Hanover Park, served as chairman of the Citizens Advisory Council, member of the Partnership for Excellence in Learning, Comprehensive High School Committee, PASS Committee, and several PTOs. Did I get that?
Pretty much so.
All right. You want that? A little closer.
Thank you.
Then we have, and Donna, of course, is the school board president. Then we have Melissa Owens, who is running for school board. She is a Bartlett resident, former business owner, a district volunteer, Citizens Advisory Council chair in a number of ways that confuse me, meaning there's special education, there's...
So I'm currently the chair of the entire council.
Okay.
And then the council is split up into committees. I am the former co-chair of the special education committee.
Okay. I got a little confused on that one. Also a member of the Elgin Alignment Collaborative for Education Board.
Correct.
I did my homework. Should I stop the show now, Dave? I don't think it's going to get any better.
I think so.
So, the you know, I've as well, you both might know, I was a official columnist for the Sun-Times News Group for 8 years. And one of the things I used to write is threatening to vote someone off a school board is like threatening to stop beating them with a 2x4. So the first question is, well, I mean, it's a thankless job. You don't get paid. You don't get any acknowledgement for doing anything right. And you're dealing with two of your constituents' most precious commodities, their children and their money. It's not an easy gig, and that's why I don't like to criticize board members that often. But we'll start with you, Donna. I mean, serving on a school board since 2001, I think I'd last a week. What keeps you going? Why do you want to do this more?
I just have this passion for education, for kids, for students. I love doing what we're doing. I love being a part of making, you know, providing these opportunities for students and handing out diplomas at graduation and walking into the schools and seeing what we've voted on or worked on, seeing it happen in the classroom. It just, it's a passion to me, and I just am, like, dedicated to this, I guess.
I wish the listeners could see the look on your face, because clearly it is something you're passionate about.
It is.
Maybe almost as passionate as I am about tequila. but good for you. I mean, you know. It is very difficult being a school board member.
It is.
Melissa, apparently Donna didn't talk you out of wanting to run. You know, it's a very difficult job. Why do you want to do it? And I don't mean that in a bad way, but so many politicians, candidates, don't really have a clue why they want to do it. I think you're going to have one, but I got to be curious. I got to know.
Well, okay.
And I'll let you talk, I promise.
So I have been, obviously I've been involved with the district for a long time, having been for 7 years on the CAC. But, you know, my son is he's a seventh grader at Kenyon Woods Middle School. He has received a great education. And there are things, there are programs and services that have been available to him that probably in a smaller district would not be available. Certainly in a district that might be less diverse, it wouldn't be available to him. So, you know, I'm really appreciative of that. It's been tremendous for him and his growth. And I want to make sure that we preserve that for kids down the line. I mean, I really feel passionately that we cannot have a strong community if we don't have strong public education. And I want to make sure that we continue what we're doing here and continue to see it grow and grow our programs and grow our the things that we're being able to provide for children.
All right. And you have been, well, you are chairman of the Citizens Advisory Council. I have to think that's prepared you somewhat.
It has. I mean, we're, you know, I think that the CAC sometimes gets knocked as being a voice for the administration, or it gets knocked for not having diverse views, and I would adamantly challenge that. We have very robust discussions from a lot of different viewpoints, especially once you get to the Executive Council, which is the leadership of CAC. And there's a lot of great things that CAC has done that has, you know, they've brought a lot of benefit to the district, and it's been a lot of fun. And I mean, I'm really proud of that organization. I'm really proud of the things that we've done.
All right, Donna.
Yes.
School board member 2001 to 2017. There, Dave, I got it right. That's a long time to serve on a school board. I think a lot of people burn out. The fact that it can quickly turn into an almost full-time job if you really look at the packets and you really look at the budgets, and that's in a small school district. In your tenure, what's your favorite thing that's come to pass at U46?
My favorite thing that's going
During your tenure, what I know it's hard to say accomplishment because it's always a board effort.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite thing the board has done during your time on the board?
Well, I did do some thinking about that and I did call them accomplishments because it is a we. You are absolutely right. I can't say I did, but I did. There are quite a few things. First thing is full day kindergarten. That's
all right.
One of the 2,600 kids are served in full-day kindergarten now. I'm extremely proud of that. AP classes. We have not only increased the courses, number of courses we offer, but we've also increased the number of students taking those courses and scoring a 3 or higher on those courses. The AVID program, I am so passionate about that one. That there's students that don't have the confidence mm-hmm. or the support to succeed in AP, and, you know, they could just need that little extra. And AVID gives them that little bit of extra, and we have AVID students who are now succeeding in those AP courses. And our student board member is a perfect example. He's an AVID student. Watch him on YouTube sometime. He is just unbelievable. I don't know what other word to use.
I don't know if I've ever met such a passionate and happy board member either.
I'm sorry.
No. Either it means you're really unique or, Dave, could you call the psychiatrist, the one we have on call? No, seriously, it's great.
I just have Kevorkian. I'm sorry.
Dave. All right.
Terrible psychiatrist, by the way.
Melissa, have you ever campaigned for anything before, out of curiosity?
I have not. This is my first time.
Excellent. And, you know, I talk on the air. I'm a campaign manager. I'm just finishing my book, How to Win a Local Election, mm-hmm. and advise candidates all the time. I'm curious, what has surprised you about knocking on doors during this campaign in U46?
It's actually easier than I thought it would be.
Now, that's not the answer I expected.
No.
Please, you got to explain.
Knocking on doors brings me way outside of my comfort zone, and it actually has been. I've met a lot of people that it's been really enjoyable to talk with them. I've not had some of the experiences that unfortunately Donna has had. She can fill you in on that experience.
Wow.
It's when you're knocking on doors, we're talking to people that, you know, a lot of times have kids in the district, and it's, yeah, we're covering 90 square miles, right? And so I'm not going to...
315,000 residents.
Right.
Not all voters in U46.
So that's the only opportunity that I have to connect with a lot of people that I would never, ever probably connect with in any other way. And, you know, it's getting a little more comfortable each time. It's not something that I really ever envisioned myself doing, to be honest with you. But it's been enjoyable every time we've gone out.
Okay, now I'm starting to throw you in Donna's camp because Deb Allen, county board member, loves knocking on doors. Christina Castro, our new state senator, will knock on doors for other people. And I keep trying to tell my Hispanic sister from another mother that I'm going to have her committed. But that's great because that's the whole point of that process, is to go out of your comfort zone, make voter contact, and make something good out of it.
Right. And I was lucky enough to walk with Christina Castro a couple weeks ago. And mm-hmm. I credit her for really, that was a great experience because, yeah, she is a pro at it. And it was really great to just kind of follow her footsteps for a day.
I can imagine. Well, I wasn't going to ask you this question, Donna, because you're, you know, a veteran, but with Melissa saying your experiences, I'm curious what's happened to you on the campaign trail.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have led into that.
A real politician would say nothing but the good stuff, but go ahead, Donna.
Hey, you're talking about the dog.
Yeah.
I was bit by a dog.
Oh, what kind of dog, ma'am?
German Shepherd.
Oh, and I mean, were you knocking on a door and did the thing
yes.
jump out or?
No, kind of snuck out.
Okay. I hope it wasn't bad.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm fine.
No,
it was just, you know, one of those laughable moments. How could this possibly happen when you're knocking on doors?
Advice is always you ring the doorbell and take 2 steps back immediately because you don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
But back when I lived in Rogers Park, I used to walk by a Golden Retriever and German Shepherd's house all the time. And I had a very friendly border collie. One day, the dogs burst through the gate, and while the Golden Retriever distracted me, the German Shepherd went around and bit me right in the butt. And I was trying to get mad at the homeowner, but I was laughing so hard at their tactics that I couldn't. So I do know what I least expected, and it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
And I got mad at the dog. I chased that dog back in the yard, and it ran. All right. You know, I can't skip over kind of the split on the board. And the 2 separate factions, you know, Phil Costello has certainly not fallen in with any group, but there's certainly, would I be kind of, I don't know, getting a little too melodramatic. I mean, is this a battle for the soul of the school board? Is this election a little more than just a regular election? We'll start with you, Melissa.
Is it for the soul of the school board?
Right, yeah, kind of a political soul, a direction of the school board, where it's going to go. I mean, I've made it clear where my loyalties stand, but I'm just curious your thoughts on it.
I think that's a little bit of hyperbole. You know, it's...
I am known for that, by the
yeah.
way. Go ahead.
there are a lot of challenges. I mean, the budget being the primary one, and, mm-hmm. right? And the funds that we are not getting from the state of Illinois. And there's different ways to look at that. If we could stick with concentrating on those problems, you know, that would be great. But unfortunately, we tend to digress into... Mm-hmm. other areas that I'm not really sure why some of those things kind of transfer down to the school board level, but it seems to be the case, and it's unfortunate. All right. Because we're not having the discussions that we really need to discuss. When the board voted on the budget the last time, there was barely a discussion on that, and it's a $500 million budget.
Yep.
And we're not talking about it, and that's unfortunate. I'm sure Donna's not, you know, that the board needs to have those discussions, and they're not having it.
Well, and Donna, you've been through various iterations of the board. What are your thoughts on this particular board? And we've already, maybe that was a bit of hyperbole, but that is something I do. But your thoughts on that kind of question and what Melissa just said?
You know, it's always good to have different opinions and views on the board, and it has happened the 16 years. I mean, we have not been, I know we have been accused of being rubber stampers at mm-hmm. times. However, we never have been. But we worked through things together. We came to some common ground and tried to work from there. We're having a much harder time with this board coming to common ground. And I think that's the problem right now. And I said it a year and a half ago in a public meeting. We need to keep working on that. Mm-hmm. That is our job as board members. Yes, you can say we're divided, but we've had a lot of 7-0 votes.
Oh, and I agree.
You know what I mean?
Agenda,
so there's just,
most people don't understand.
Yeah,
the majority think there is complete agreement on.
Right. So it's those hard issues and the issues that we really have a difference of opinion on that we really have to work a lot harder to get to those places where we could find some common ground. And sometimes we're just going to be so far apart, we're not going to find it. Mm-hmm. And then with the issue the other night, I basically said we need to agree to disagree on this. And that's okay, too.
It is okay. It is okay. I'm unlike Councilman Prigge, who you can ask a question, and, you know, I am not trying to back either one of you into
right.
making a contentious statement. But this interesting issue can't be ignored either. So, and let's shift from that a bit. What do you both love about the district?
Again, the availability of programs that my son has been able to take part of is I can't state enough how much he has succeeded because of, you know, the availability of these programs. In a district this size, it gives us certain economies of scale so that we can have very specific programs that target very specific populations mm-hmm. according to their needs. And this is, you know, I saw this when I was the chairperson of the Special Education Committee, and we actually came on WRM a couple times on the People to People show because we had a special needs parent resource fair where we brought in agencies from across the three counties that service families with kids that have special needs outside of the school setting and gave parents access to those services. But inside the district, we've got MLP classrooms, which are modified learning programs mm-hmm. for kids with disabilities. We've got ILP classrooms, which target kids with autism. We have families moving into the district specifically because we have those services for kids that have special needs and abilities. And that's what I love. I mean, we've got so much available to us because of our size that we can bring these programs. Now, are we bringing everything that we could bring to students? Probably not, and I'd like to see us grow in that regard. But I think that we have a really strong offering of programs here, and that's, you know, it's really a fantastic district to be in.
Tony Sanders has cited that quite frequently when he's been on the show. Now, I'm a little scared to ask Donna because her love for the district is so clear. But Donna, what do you love about U46?
It's basically the same thing that Melissa is talking about and the things that I'm proud of. I have three children. They're all grown now. They're 33, 28, and 23, so they're not in the district anymore. But they went through U46, kindergarten through graduation, and they always had those options for those different opportunities for whatever they were interested in. And I just see that as such a benefit to our students. And I want to continue that. You'll hear me when I was talking to you before. I talk about the opportunities. That's what I'm talking about, giving students opportunities to give them that step up before they leave us.
All right. Now, we've come to the part of the first half of the show where if our producer has behaved, and today it does seem like he took his Ritalin, we let him ask a question. But if it's like if you were a tree or a pizza, what would you be? Please don't encourage him. All right, Dave.
All right. I have a question here regarding special needs, and you both had the familiarity with like special needs. Is the quality as being on the student board on the board? Are you going to have input in the quality of the teacher in regards to
special needs students?
Yeah, needs students. Is the quality there, or is this just is that something that you have input in?
As far as being a board member, would we
yes.
have input?
Yes.
Well, I mean, my understanding is that, you know, the district or the school board hires a superintendent or a CEO, correct? And then
yes.
we direct the CEO or superintendent to look into those services. I mean, we don't have
a difference in teachers in regards for special needs children.
I'm not sure I'm understanding.
Do you ever get like either ever issues with the teachers themselves in regards to for special needs going, you know, this person doesn't understand my son. This person totally understands my daughter.
I think you get that not only in special needs,
right.
but across the board. And the board does, although we don't hire
right.
the staff or have a say in hiring the staff, it's in our strategic plan. It's in our board policies. You know, it directs them that we want the best possible people.
Of course.
Right. Hired for those positions.
But as Melissa, what you said is so important. And very few, it's like people don't get unfunded mandates to school boards. I mean,
right.
they really don't. And people don't understand that the school board's only employee is the superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
it.
Right.
It doesn't go beyond
yeah.
that. You can't address, I mean, other than a friendly hello or how is it going, what is there anything we can do better on the board, you cannot go to a teacher and say, do it my way.
Right.
That's not how the school board works.
No,
right.
it's creating the atmosphere so that the administration Correct. Is successful in doing that.
But I still, you know, people don't quite get the unique challenges of serving on a school board. Well, we've hit the 3:28 mark, so rather than ask the next question, why don't we go to break? And we always do that by saying this has been the first half of the Friday edition of Warden Jones. We are fortunate enough to have U46 School Board President Donna Smith on, U46 School Board candidate Melissa Owens. I am Jeff Ward. That's Dave Weiser. This is WRMN AM 1410. Mr. Weiser, would you not only take us to break, but read the Ansel Glink ad?
Certainly.
I put aside my foolish games. I run and hide and call in names. School's out, bells will ring. Now's the time to teach me everything. Teach you, teach you, teach me love. I can't learn fast enough. Teach you, teach you, teach me more. I got to learn.
Fulfilling the mission of local government has always been challenging. Now Springfield is considering adding to those challenges, property tax freezes, local share sweeps, and more unfunded mandates. Now more than ever, units of local government need expert counsel to help them meet the needs of their citizens. Whether it's alternate sources of revenue, options with your labor costs, or understanding finance and debt options, Ansel Glink is ready to help. Ansel Glink has been serving Illinois units of local government of all types for more than 80 years. They know local government, and they can help. Give them a call at 630-596-4612. Need advice? Think Ansel Glink.
This is Coach John, your financial quarterback with a financial game plan here on WRMN. Are you staying awake at night worrying that the current market rally will halt much sooner than you expected? Do you feel secure that your 401ks, IRAs, and other savings and retirement accounts are properly positioned to withstand any market condition? What about your insurance? Do you understand all the types of life insurance options that are available and what would be right for you? Are you ready for retirement? Do you know how much capital and income you'll need for a successful retirement? To have me, Coach John, your financial quarterback, answer your questions or help you get your game plan started, call me at the Chicago Investment Advisory Council. Phone number 630-444-1410 for a free one-hour consultation. That's 630-444-1410 for a free one-hour consultation to make sure you have a winning strategy in place. Let's get your game plan started.
Securities offered through JW Cole Financial Services Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. John Davis is an investment advisor representative. Investment advisory services are offered through Chicago Investment Advisory Council Incorporated. This is a separate entry of JW Cole Financial Incorporated.
Do you possess extraordinary powers? Have you ever saved a life? Are you considered a hero? Become one. Adopt. Foster. Rescue. Volunteer. Network. Educate. Donate. Sponsor. Transport. Fundraise. Tune into our friends from Almost Home Foundation every other week for Foster Fridays at 1, where they will feature a dog or cat in need of a hero. You can contact Almost Home Foundation at 630-582-3738. Saving an animal won't change the world, but for that animal, the world will be forever changed.
Has your bank changed names in the past 10 years? Is your bank another faceless branch headquartered in some other city? Are you tired of earning next to nothing on your money? Does your personal banker treat you like a stranger? If you answered yes to any of those questions and you're ready for a new banking experience, an American Eagle Bank has the prescription for you. They are a locally owned independent bank that's rooted in the community. At American Eagle Bank, customers are greeted by name and treated with the care and respect they deserve. American Eagle Bank offers innovative products like their Eagle Savers account, which encourages your children to save. American Eagle Bank offers great rates on certificates of deposit, with their 60-month certificate earning a 1.95 annual percentage yield. American Eagle Bank, located on Randall Road in South Elgin between Caputo's and the Super Target, is open Monday through Saturday. Please give them a call at 847-742-7400 and a real person will answer the phone. American Eagle Bank, it's a place where you matter.
Rates are as February 1st, 2015 and subject to change without notice. $1,000 minimum balance to open and obtain the annual percentage yield except for educational IRAs, which require a $500 minimum balance. Early withdrawal penalties apply. Contact American Eagle Bank for more information.
You, who are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself. Because the past.
We're back. Thank you, Dave. This was the second half of the inaugural, I say, Dave, Friday afternoon edition of Warden Jones.
And it's so far it's gangbusters.
It is. I mean,
it's quite an honor. For
I just
us,
hope it doesn't.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, yes, we know. We know. No, I'm kidding. We are thrilled when we get candidates to come on the show and talk about what they think about, because half the fun is I get to ask the questions that I want to ask you anyway. So I'm sure Larry will regret missing you two and John, but he is having fun with his daughter. So we asked what you guys love about the district. But if there's one thing you could change, what would it be? We'll start with you, Donna. Just one thing about U46 you could change.
Goodness.
Should I go to Melissa?
You know, I guess if there was one thing I could change, it would be that we could make... And we're trying, mm-hmm. but that we could make, they call them smaller learning communities, and mm-hmm. you know, in the education. But I would really like to see that type of thing happen, because sometimes the students aren't, they don't fit in any certain group. And I think if you have the smaller groups, you would have more, they'd feel more a part of and...
I know what you, I mean, I was a bit of an outsider in high school. But, you know, Evanston Township High School back in the early 70s, 5,000 kids, it was easy to feel like an outsider. Yeah. My graduating class was 1,000.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand what size can do to a school district.
Yeah, and I don't think the size is bad because it does allow us to give mm-hmm. the students those other opportunities, but sometimes they kind of get lost too, and we have to somehow balance that.
I hear you. Same question, Melissa.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest challenges that we have is that we can't, because of our size, we move slowly on things, and mm-hmm. we can't adapt as quickly as I would like to see. I think we've got some really interesting things coming down the pike with changes in how CTE programs are being looked at.
And could you tell our listeners what CTE stands for?
Career and Technical Education.
Okay. Thank you.
And, you know, and I have a seventh grader, so I'm really excited about the direction that I see other districts moving in that, and I would really like that opportunity for my son. And it's kind of, you know, I'm sitting here going, okay, we've got two more years before we're in high school. I want to see this stuff happen, and it's, you know, I'm afraid that it takes a while for us to make, you know, changes because we're so big, and it's like moving a streamliner down the.
I was talking with a Batavia school board member the other day, and he had done a candidate profile, and they asked, "What's your biggest mistake?" And he said, "You know what? You get on a school board, you think it's like either a motorboat or a barge. You're either going full speed ahead or you're stuck. But the reality is it's like a cruise ship. You kind of aim it and make course corrections along the way.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And the larger that cruise ship is, the better you better aim it.
Right.
So I threw out the possibility of some of our show's biggest fans asking questions on Facebook privately today because – you know, I did not want to have to have to deal with the rabble. I know you two aren't going to say that, but, you know, I mean, Dave's bad enough. By the way, do we have a caller, Dave, or did they go away?
No, we didn't. We did okay. not have a caller.
But the biggest the question that my four sample folks came up with almost unanimously, outsourcing. And so, I mean, outsourcing, it's odd. It's kind of become a topic, though the board hasn't technically brought it up. And then it's kind of grown into protests at every meeting almost. So, Donna, we'll go to you. Outsourcing, your thoughts.
We did have a lot of speakers the other night about it, and mm-hmm. many of them were asking us to vote no to outsourcing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did make a statement Monday night at our board meeting, and that's... I can only say what I said there. It's not a recommendation yet. It was a request for a proposal
mm-hmm.
to get an idea of a cost. And now it could become a recommendation, but administration hasn't even decided to bring it forward as a recommendation. So until it's brought forward as a recommendation, the board won't be hearing the details behind the request for proposal.
Right, so have we caught ourselves in a self-prophesying feedback loop where it's going to be very difficult to move ahead because of the dynamic now?
You know what? I think we need to wait and see. I mean,
okay.
Until it comes to the board, I've told people who have emailed me, I don't have the details yet because it's not a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
But if, and I'm going to say if, it does come to the board, they can be assured that I will not make my decision based on finances alone because there's a lot more to it.
All right.
And that's about all I can say about it.
No. Well, I mean, that one, I don't know what answer I would expect because Larry and I continually point out that this has not technically come before the board.
Right.
So there's a little cart before the horse aspect to it, but you don't want to tell people you can't have your 3 minutes to voice your opinion.
Right.
So, again, the difficulties in being a school board member. Melissa, your thoughts on outsourcing.
So, I mean, I have obviously even less information than Donna
right.
does because I am not sitting on the board. A recommendation, you know, came in front of the board right now, I wouldn't be privy to it. But, yeah, I mean, I appreciate that Donna is saying that she would be looking at more than the straight finances of the proposal, because that's what I would want the board to be looking at. I think that especially when you're talking about special education students, you know, sometimes for some of our students, just getting on the bus and getting to school is part of their education. I mean, and, you know, for most of us, that doesn't sound like it's a big deal to get on a bus and get to school. But for a child that is nonverbal, for a child that is not independent, that is a very big step for them. And we really depend on our bus drivers to be, you know, they're the first line people that the students see and that the parents see, especially in that special needs situation. And I think that that's a very valuable part of our district. And I you know, really hope that that is part of the decision going forward.
All right. I mean, U46 already outsources some special needs buses. Am I correct? I know they outsource something, Donna.
A little bit.
Well, okay. So it's not untoward. I mean, it does happen. But again, I think you're both dead on that we can't really talk about it until there's something out there that we can actually discuss.
Right.
So I happen to agree with DeBodias, as they say in Chicago, on that one. The next biggest thing my small survey group brought up, of course, would be the transgender issue. Mm-hmm. And if you, I mean, I know you'll both say you read my blog religiously, but I have taken that on the show and I've taken that on here. I do think it's unconscionable to hop on the back of one middle school student to promote a political agenda. I'm not going to ask you to follow in my footsteps, but I'll be clear. And once again, I am inviting Cody, Enoch, Essendrop, and Jeanette Ward. How can I not remember somebody with my same last name? Jeanette Ward on the show. Donna, your thoughts on the whole transgender issue that caused all sorts of consternation?
We had a policy in place. Tony, let me start with, a student went to the school with a request for accommodations. It came through the district and up through Tony and all our other administrators. They did not make these decisions off the cuff. These were very thoughtful decisions with the accommodations for this student. And I supported his decision at the time, and I continue to support his decision. We are not opening our locker rooms to anyone. There's a process that a student would have to go through to receive the accommodations, and I still stand by it. So, I mean,
like I said, I put it out there to people I trust. You know, like I said, taking crap from Dave is bad enough, and Larry's even worse. So this was one of the things folks wanted me to ask, so I appreciate you answering it. You have a slightly different perspective, Melissa, because you're not a school board member yet, but I'd love to hear your thoughts as well.
Well, so being a parent of a special needs student, I have experienced going through IEP meetings, which is Individualized Education Program meetings, correct? And, you know, and so in those meetings, we talk about accommodations for our kids. Again, it is not me sitting down with one person and then saying arbitrarily, okay, we're going to do X, Y, Z. There are a team of people that get together for every one of those meetings and makes decisions. You know, the principal, the special education supervisor, the psychologist, you know, the sociologist. I mean, there's a whole range of people that get together. And I am confident in this situation and in situations going forward when we make accommodations like this that process is going to be put in place, that we have a team that is making a decision that is appropriate both for the student that is asking for the accommodation and for the rest of the population of the school. You know, personally, I'm always going to come down on the side of inclusion and making sure that we are accommodating any given student to the best ability that we have, and that's how I would look at it going forward.
All right. Something else that's become kind of contentious in U46, and it's usually, I always have to laugh, curriculum. And I've written about this extensively because, you know, we had, you know, I forget, geez, the, you know, Parental Music Resource Committee and all this consternation with Tipper Gore and music. And I'm like, you know, 98% of rock songs are about loving other people. If it really caught on, you know, we wouldn't have much time to do anything else. The same thing with curriculum. I mean, getting the kids to pay attention to it. Again, my wife is a math interventionist in the East Aurora School District. So, I mean, these thoughts, this curriculum is... we all know the challenges of, you know, trying to get the curriculum to sink in. But the curriculum has become a battle in U46. Your thoughts, Donna?
Well, it's more the textbooks that have become the... that have become the topic. And I guess my thoughts on it is we have a very, again, a process preventing these textbooks. We have instructional council, which is made up of teachers, administrators, parents that go through the process of looking at these textbooks. We have teachers piloting. And again, a textbook is one piece of what a teacher uses to teach. It's just one resource. And I don't know of any teacher who doesn't find other resources on their own to supplement the textbook. So I guess in my, I look at these and I've said this before too. We could all look through a textbook and find things we don't like in there. I'm sure I could if I read it cover to cover. But I have faith in our teachers and our administrators that they are going to supplement those textbooks with what they need, because our real goal is to teach the students how to think and debate and come up with their own opinions on things. So I guess that's why I'm not as... I don't feel as strongly that the textbook has to have exactly what I want in it.
Okay, and by the way, as you both know, today is a massive in-service day in all of Illinois, and my wife is at Caneville High School right now, and she came home for lunch and said, you know, God, they had this great program online. It's a mathematical scavenger hunt, you know, and I know my kids will really get into it. So that's the kind of thing that, you hope you can bring to it. Melissa, curriculum.
So, you know, speaking with people that work within the district and trying to understand the process that we go through to, A, develop curriculum, because we develop the curriculum all in-house. We're big enough that we're able to do that. And B, I mean, it is a long, thought-out process. This is not, again, this is not something that we're just... Oh, there's a book, so I guess we'll bring that into the classroom, and it doesn't matter if it really doesn't, you know, say exactly 100% everything that we wanted to say. That is not the process that we go through. There are teams of teachers that are involved in picking out resources, that are involved in writing the curriculum. And like Donna, I have absolute faith that they are the experts. That's why we direct administration to hire these people. They are the experts in doing this sort of work. And I have to say that there have been a number of times where my son's come home from school and he's, you know, had a thought, you know, that I'm not quite sure where that might have come from. And we sit down and we have a discussion about it. And sometimes he changes my mind and sometimes I change his mind and sometimes we just don't agree. And that's fine. That's what he should be doing at 12 years old in seventh grade. He's developing his own opinions about things. He's developing his own thoughts. And that's what I want him to do, even if he doesn't agree with me all the time or I don't agree with him all the time. That's fine. That's part of growth, and that's what I want to see happen.
Now I'm back to trying to say 10 things at the same time. Slow down, Jeff. It's funny you say that, because that's the other assumption, that, you know, our kids are just going to follow this curriculum and they're going to follow in our footsteps. And my biggest joke is that my 17-year-old high school senior, you know, the things he has followed in are my capacity to aggravate the crap out of people and my vast capacity to swear, not my work ethic or my love for writing or my love of running. But those things, you know, and in his defense, he has picked up my don't care what people think about you. But that's what I laugh at. You know, this curriculum is going to destroy the country.
Yeah, I'm not raising a mini-me. Yeah. I mean, I'm raising a child that can think for himself and make up his own mind and have self-determination. And that, you know, at the end of the day, they're going to be hearing a whole bunch of things that don't come from the curriculum that are going to challenge them. And it all has to be taken all together and the kids sorted out.
They let me do presentations at business classes at when I invented a portable insulated laptop desk at Geneva High School. I don't think it's ever been the same. Moving on. Mm-hmm. And by the way, if you want to ask the candidates a question, this is your last shot. Call the lovely Dave at 847-931-1410. Now, I'm really not trying to bias you here. Yes, I am. But I love Tony Sanders. And, I have talked with dozens of school superintendents. I have covered dozens of school board meetings.
For a week, you want to be known as Jeff Sanders. That's how weird.
Tony comes on the show. He's only got one bad habit that I know of, which I will not mention on the air. Now that I have made my point of view perfectly clear, your thoughts on Tony Sanders. Since we're starting with Donna, we'll keep going.
Well, I voted on giving him a contract, so I think that's kind of obvious how I feel. I mean, he's done a great job. He stepped in when Dr. Torres had resigned, and we knew then that we needed someone who could keep us moving forward. So we weren't idle while we had an interim. And it has worked out very well. He's moved us forward. He keeps moving us forward. And now we have the ability to have him as our CEO, and we took advantage of that.
I do think it was the right move. I have very rarely met anybody with that kind of insight, the capacity to handle it all. We have had funny conversations where suddenly I was in second place in the swearing regard. But he's done with it, and he moves on, and the school district, and he just loves it. Yeah. I mean, I go, God, how can anybody, I work those long hours in what I do, too. But if you love what you're doing, he clearly does. Melissa.
So what I can say is that I don't remember, and it's been a while since I've been in school, but I don't remember ever knowing who the superintendent was or
exactly.
I remember being in school and not even knowing who the principal was because the principal wasn't out and about in my school. And if there's one thing you can say about Tony, that's not the case. I mean, you know, people know who he is. He is out there. He is involved. He is going to every single event and meeting and, you know, the dedication that he has to do that is incredible. We've had a lot of discussions, him and I, with CAC. We don't always see eye to eye on some things with CAC, and that is perfectly fine because I think that when you have somebody that you don't see eye to eye with but you can sit down and talk it out, that's the most beneficial thing in the world. And I have nothing but the utmost respect for him.
And CAC, Citizens Advisory Council. I mean, when I really got to know Tony, there was a special needs student who really needed a laptop. And this is a pretty funny karmic story. And I ended up talking, and this kid had a disease that, you know, makes you think there's nothing, you know. I mean, working with Dave is bad, but nothing is as bad as, no, we kid Dave. And the problem was it was making the news, and they didn't want to give him a laptop.
Take your Tylenol, Jeff.
Yeah, they didn't want to give him a laptop. And, you know, I called Tony and said, look, I know you can't talk to everybody. This is when he was spokesperson. But this person, just give her 15 minutes and it'll be solved. He wouldn't do it. I did a 3-part column. And Tony sat down and talked with her. 20 minutes, problem was solved. He calls me back and says, you were right. You know, and I got to give him credit for that because I'm a very difficult person to say you were right to because, well, I'm not a gracious winner. And by the way, the gentleman who donated the laptop to this kid was Larry Jones. So a connection beyond that. Yeah. Dave's been good again.
Yes. I have a question.
Simpler, Dave.
All right. I got a text regarding about funding. I'm assuming special needs education. And has it been delayed?
Funding from the state, you mean?
Funding from the state, yes.
All right.
So the categorical funding from the state has been delayed. To the last that I heard, which would have been last week, we have not received categorical funding for the entire fiscal year, which would be from July 1st until now. For right now, I think that equates to $27 million. Not all of that is special education,
right,
but special education, transportation, bilingual, a lot of the special programs that that the district runs, we've not been compensated for from the state. So when the state says that they are fully funding education this year,
yeah,
they are not.
And is the delay hurting the students?
We'll let Donna.
Okay, sorry, Donna.
Well, of course. Okay. I mean, the way dollars come into the district, mm-hmm, we watch our budget. And there were years that we did not even budget all four categorical payments so that we were being conservative enough in case, mm-hmm, those payments never came in. But we do. We continue to watch it. It is only the categorical payments. It's not the general state aid. The general state aid, there's a law they have to pay, so we do get that.
Right.
But we just have to keep watching.
And it's the uncertainty is what, yeah, winds up hurting kids, because if we don't know what's coming from year to year, then we can't appropriately plan for what we need to do.
Right.
All right. Wow. 3:50. This is, Larry and I say, this is the fastest hour of our lives. All right. I'm going to ask you both the same question. Donna, should you prevail? In your mind, what's next for U46?
Just to keep continuing to move forward. I love the direction we're going. I love the direction Tony is taking us. Melissa mentioned the CTE. That's our new thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we keep continuing to look for those areas where we can do better for our students. And I just am excited to keep continuing on that path.
All right. Melissa, should you prevail?
You know, I'm really excited to see the results of the testing that comes in from full-day kindergarten, because that was a huge step for us. My son was actually in the last full-day kindergarten class that they had in the ESL program over at Liberty. And that
English
was
a second language.
English is a second language program for him. And that was a huge benefit. So I'm really excited to see how that works out as far as the results of the student testing, and then how that translates now into first grade and second grade and third grade, and how those gains progress as kids move through elementary school.
All right. By the way, Jeff Meyer was on the show on Monday. He's an ECC board member. Mm-hmm. Blast. What's the program name where you guys might partnership with?
Accelerate.
Yes.
The dual credit.
Yeah. And you can, I got to tell you, you know, for somebody who was not challenged at Evanston Township High School, I really like that thought. So just my two cents. All right. As is customary when we have candidates on the show, we let you kind of make a closing statement. So, Donna, why don't you start? You've got about a minute, and please tell people where they can find you, donate, et cetera.
Okay. I have a Facebook page.
Okay.
At Donna Smith for U46 School Board. My website is the same, Donna Smith for U46 School Board.com. And my email is the same with gmail.com.
And any final statement you want to make about issues or the board?
Just that I will continue to do what I'm doing. And I know people watch us closely, and I hope they're happy with the way I have.
I've talked with enough candidates to, well, I can't say it on the air. But, ma'am, you have a true love for this gig. And like I said,
do.
I'm not sure if it's mental defect or or you really, you know, or, in any event, Melissa, same opportunity.
Yeah, I feel like I have to defend my mentality.
No, I mean, not everybody can be Donna. You know, we need contemplative people on boards. If everybody was Donna and I, it would be like a gospel revival meeting. And no, I'm kidding, but go ahead. I'm taking your time.
So I'm really, you know, I'm excited about the opportunities that we have in U46. I look at this both from a parent perspective. You know, I was a former business owner. We hired high school graduates, and I firmly, again, believe that we need a strong public education system if we want to maintain a healthy community.
And where can people find you?
They can find me on my website at melissaowens.org, my Facebook page, Melissa Owens U46 School Board, and those two locations both link to each other, and my email is u46mail@melissaowens.org.
All right. Well, thank you so much, ladies. Thank you for making me look good as I ran up the stairs to get here on time. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for running for school board, because it is one tough gig. Well, and good luck. This has been the inaugural Friday afternoon edition of Ward and Jones. Larry will be back on Monday when we start tackling the local news again. I know we're going to invite more candidates on. Candidates can call us to come on. This is WRMN AM 1410. I am Jeff Ward again, Donna Smith, U46 School Board President, Melissa Owens, candidate for U46 School Board, Dave Weiser on the boards. Until Monday, my friends.
Here we are, no one else. We walk to school all by ourselves. There's dirt on our uniforms from chasing.
Hi, I'm Larry Jones of the Warden Jones Show, and you're listening to 1410 WRMN Elgin, proudly serving the Fox River Valley.
Lewis. Meanwhile, another Jewish cemetery, this time in Rochester, New York, was vandalized.